بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. الله before we begin, just a reminder of your zakah. Inshallah, if you haven't given out your zakah, you still can donate your zakah to whichever cause you prefer, to the masjid or something else. Alhamdulillah, we had a fundraiser last Jum'ah, and fi Laylatul Qadr on the 26th of Ramadan, we'll have a small fundraiser. Inshallah, if you would like to contribute. Over the last couple of nights, we've been talking about Tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And tonight we'll talk a very special group. And this group in the Quran is the group of new Muslims, reverts. So tonight we'll talk about new Muslims. There's this ayah I recited in Salatul Isha from Surah 25, Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. It's ayah number 70 in Surah 25. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically says, except those who repent, mend their ways, and they accept Islam, then for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will He forgive their sins, their past sins before Islam, but He will also change or transform their evil deeds into good ones. Which means when someone accepts Islam, maybe they did some things before Islam they were not supposed to do, but they didn't know. So once they take Shahada, all their past sins will be forgiven and they will be transferred into good deeds, which puts them ahead of many of us who were born and raised Muslim. There are so many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that support this ayah in the Quran. For example, this hadith in At-Tabarani, a man, كان اسمه أبو فروة, تمام, he was one of the Sahaba. He came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I did every terrible thing you can think of before Islam, right? Everything in the book, right? I was not supposed to do, I did it, right? Will Allah ever forgive me? So the Prophet ﷺ said, did you accept Islam? He said, yes, I'm a Muslim. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, Allah will forgive you. So he said, are you sure Allah will forgive me everything? غَدَرَاتِ وَفَجَرَاتِ, everything? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, Allah will forgive you. فَانْطَلَقَ وَهُوَ يُكَبِّرُ حَتَّى تَوَارَ عَنِ الْأَنْظَارِ. He left and he was making takbir all the way until he was out of sight. Right? So he was so happy. And there are so many other hadith. There is something interesting about the Sahaba. Maybe you haven't noticed. We read the tafsir, seerah and everything. All the Sahaba, or almost all of them, except those of them who were born to Muslim parents, almost all the Sahaba were reverts, new Muslims, right? All the great Sahaba, they accepted Islam, starting with Khadija radiallahu anha and the other great Sahaba and so on and so forth. New Muslims, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them this reward in the Quran because of where they came from. There's no one forcing them to become Muslim. No one is putting a gun to their head to accept Islam, right? And Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Why would anyone living a life of freedom, they do whatever they want, they eat whatever they want, they hang out with whatever they want, they drink whatever they want, they leave all of this behind their backs and they take Shahada and they become Muslim and they adhere by the guidelines or the teachings of Islam. Why would they do that, right? Because of their sincerity, their ikhlas, right? I'm not saying that born and raised Muslims are not sincere, but most of the time we do it just because our parents are doing it, right? You fast at Ramadan, you pray, you go to Jum'ah because your parents want you to do that, right? Because you have to sometimes. But new Muslims, they do it just because they want to, right? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns their evil deeds into good ones, right? Also, the challenges they face after they become Muslim, starting with their family, right? And this is not the biggest challenge. I'm going to talk about the biggest one at the end, right? I got only 2 minutes. So with their families, I've heard from a lot of new Muslims, right? Before Islam, there were some of them, not all of them. They were drunkards, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, all of these things, right? Drugs in some cases. Their parents didn't have a problem with them, right? But after they take Shahada, alhamdulillah, they are mending their ways. Their life is clean now. Alhamdulillah, they pray. They're very respectful. They're very good to their parents. Alhamdulillah.
now their families have issues with them. They don't, you know, they have problems with them, right? There is a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Whenever I hear these stories, I remember this hadith. It says, the hadith is questioned by some of the ulama, but the meaning is acceptable. It says, before the day of judgment, common sense will be perceived as nonsense, and nonsense will be perceived as common sense. And if you look around, you see what is going on, you feel like common sense is not very common anymore, right? So if Islam makes them a better person, so not, what's your problem? Aapki saath koi mushkil hai, right? What is your problem? Islam makes them a better person, so leave them alone, right? And they have to struggle with food, they have to struggle all by themselves. If you missed, you know, sahur one night, your family will wake you up. If you're late for Jummah, they tell you, hey, Jummah, right? But there's no support system. Maybe there is pork in the house, there's alcohol, no one cares about their salah. If they don't go to the masjid, or they don't go, nobody cares, nobody will wake them for sahur or nothing, right? The support system is not there. We, born and raised Muslims, we don't have issues with these things. We received Islam the easy way, they received it the hard way, right? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them this reward. Now, we've got only 1 minute left. The biggest challenge that faces new Muslims is the Muslim community, not the non-Muslim community, right? Because in some cases we are very judgmental, right? We're always questioning them. Well, you made a mistake in your salah, and you know, where is your beard the next day when they come to the masjid? Oh, your hijab is not proper. What is wrong with you? All these things, right? Don't be judgmental. They just took shahada last night. And, you know, it takes some time. It took the Sahaba, the great Sahaba, several years to be the persons, the great persons we know of, right? It takes some time. And they take Islam seriously, but it takes some time. The greatest dua in North America and Europe are not born and raised Muslim. They are new Muslims. People like Siraj Wahaj, Yusuf Istis, Hamza Yusuf, Abdul Rahim Green, all the people who are leading in da'wah, they are reverse. They're not born and raised Muslim, right? So they take it seriously, more than us, because they tried both lives and they know that Islam is what saves them. Islam is what makes them a better person. I always have this problem, and I've seen it in so many communities, a revert, especially a brother, sisters who accept Islam, no problem. But brothers, in many cases, they talk to me, they want to propose to a born and raised Muslim, right? So we go to the family, the guy is very good, mashallah. He comes to the masjid all the time, he's practicing, very sincere, volunteering all the time in the masjid, right? We go to the family, we propose, they say no because he's not from our culture, right? So even if the Sahaba come today, like Salman al-Farisi, or Suhaib al-Rumi, or Bilal radiallahu anhu, oh, they are not from my culture, right? Yeah, they are good, but they are not from my culture, right? So what is this? In many cases, and I've seen some of the brothers reverse, they are not accepted. Yes, the moment they take Shahada, we make takbir the whole day, we hug them, we give them 1,000 kisses. When they propose to our daughter in marriage, we kick them out. Right? What is this, right? In some cases, some families that would rather marry their daughter to someone from their own culture who is a sucker, he doesn't pray, or he doesn't come to the masjid, you know, a failure. So they would marry their daughter to a guy like this, and they wouldn't marry their daughter to someone who is a new Muslim who comes to the masjid. Very good Muslim, mashallah. I would marry them my own sister. But they don't care, right? So alhamdulillah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts new Muslims, and He loves them, and He forgives their sins, and He turns their evil deeds into good ones, right? So why are we not as accepting and as understanding, right? So we have to show care, and we have to show acceptance to these brothers and sisters, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. The question for last night was about Surah Al-Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of your Lord's favors will you deny? The ayat that talk about Jahannam, right? So how is that a favor? There are two ways to understand this. Number one, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the reward for doing something good, or if He's talking to you about the creation and His favors upon you, this is a good thing. But if he is warning you against Jahannam so you don't go to it, right? It's a good thing, it's a favor. Like you are driving on the highway and they tell you there is an accident or there's a fire ahead, it's a good thing because they are letting you know so you don't get in trouble. So it's a good thing. The second reason, when you see that the troublemakers, the tyrants in this dunya that will be punished in akhirah, it's a good thing. It's a favor from Allah to us. The people who have been oppressed, the people who have been abused, for them this is also a ni'mah from Allah. فَقُطْعَ عَذَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So Allah considers it as a ni'mah. The winner is Sister Akbari Abdul Qadir. Akbari Abdul Qadir. Is there anyone to take the prize on her behalf? The last thing. Tonight's question is very difficult. It's simple, but it's very difficult, right? And the sisters have asked for it. We spoke a couple of nights ago about the largest number in the Quran, 100,000, right? In the story of Yunus, alayhi salam. There is number 11, then 11 brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, the seven heavens. These are some of the numbers in the Quran. What is the smallest, the tiniest number in the Quran? It's a difficult question. You have to look and research. And if you know the answer, inshallah, email me by tomorrow, asr, at info@mustafakhattab.org. Jazakumullah.